So we're going to go Rus. We're going to end Perek Beis like this. Rus and Naomi got into a whole argument. Naomi wanted to get into an argument. How did go about their new status? They came there to Yisrael. They weren't sure exactly what to do. Boaz had just lost his wife. In fact, he was in a velus of his wife during this time, which is why he didn't go up to Naomi and Rus and ask them what to do or how they were doing. He couldn't ask them anything, and the reason why he couldn't ask anything is because they had already done everything. They had already gone through everything that they needed to know, and he was in Avelos at the time. He couldn't answer any of their questions. That was the biggest problem over here. So there's a big issue how old Rus was at the time. Some say that Rus was 40 years old, that she was already 40 years old, childless, meaning it was going to be very hard for her to have a baby anyway, right? But that was one of the big things over here. Regardless, that was one of the things out there. Now, she didn't know when she left in the morning to go find the fields where she was going to get leket, shechan peah, or for her leket. She didn't know exactly where Boaz's fields were. She davened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a malach. We're going to see that just like by Esther, where there were malachim all over the place, helping them out and wherever they were going, a malach led her in the right direction where she was supposed to be. Grab one of those, Moshe, from right over there. And it turned out that it ended up being, they were perfect. She got to the right place at the right time, when the reapers were there right at that time. Now, Boaz had just finished his mourning. He had gotten up, and he was now getting himself back involved with his communal affairs. He had already lost 60 children. I don't know if that means, it sounds like from the Gemara, 30 sons and 30 daughters. It could be that it refers to sons and daughter-laws, although it seems from the Gemara that there were 60 weddings that he had had altogether. Regardless, he had lost a ton of children, aside from his wife. So he was in a tremendous amount of mourning, and he was older already. We don't know how old Boaz was, but if Boaz was Ibtson, he could have been over 100 years old at the time when this is happening. It's as if he's got to start all over again. It was not easy whatsoever. Not only that, but Moav, remember, had already been rejected from the people. Nobody else wanted to be around. Now, Boaz went to Sanhedrin first. He had gone to the Sanhedrin in order to sit with them and find out all the cases that he had missed over the last week over his avelos. But then he felt, he had a feeling like he has to go out to his field that he should go check out in the harvest. He had no idea where that came from or why he wanted to go do it, but he realized, okay, I've got to do it. And he never went out there. When they saw him, they were shocked. They just said, what's going on over here? He saw Rus almost immediately, almost as if he was drawn to her, similar to Yehuda and Tamar. And he realized something's going on with her, seeing how she was picking up things, how she was acting all tznius, and how people were interested by her because she didn't look like a regular Jew. She was a Moavi woman. And that's why he asked almost immediately, but he was careful about how he did it. He didn't want it to seem like his wife had just passed away and he's already on the market and he starts looking for people. Instead, he asked in a roundabout way, what's going on?
Two questions. One, at this time period, Boaz was the head of the Sanhedrin?
Yes, definitely the head of Sanhedrin and the Shofet of all of Klal Yisrael.
So right now we're in the times of the Shofet.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's one of the 12 Shofet?
18. Ibtson, yeah.
And what are Israel-Moab relationships? Are they, like, do they fight wars, like, at that time? Or
years ago, but not since 150 years ago. That was the last time, right? In Bnei Yisrael, we're not allowed to fight but Moav unless Moav started something before anything else. Anyway, because of that, Boaz started asking about the field, started going through everything, and then said, who are the people that are coming to the fields today? And in a roundabout fashion, asked about that lady that was by herself that was picking up. And that's when they started saying where it was. Now, there's a machlokes, what the foreman said when they talked about Rus. Was it in a positive fashion, saying all the good traits that she had and all the great things out there, or in a negative fashion, where he was just like, this is not the right person for anyone. You should know that this person got married to Mahlon and Kilion. Possibly both of them. We'll talk about that soon, right? This is not the right person out there, and it was really, really bad. They didn't feel that she had converted properly. She might not have fully converted properly in that saying. Either way, regardless, they say that she's a foolish girl, that she didn't know the halachas of leket, that she was just taking whatever it was, and she happened to be picking up the right leket at the right time, or whatever it was, but she wasn't helping out Naomi. She was spending all the time in the field instead of helping out Naomi. Now, this is the first day that she came to the fields. This is not like it was a week or a month or whatever. It was the first day that she came to the fields itself. I'm sorry?
It was obviously a lie.
She was a Moavia, so it could be that he was trying to keep her away so that nobody would be anywhere near a Moavia woman, which was a machlokas at the time, whether you're allowed to marry a Moavi woman.
So he just didn't want a Moavi woman in the field.
Around Klal Yisrael, picking all the stuff. Now, Rus was there and overheard everything the foreman said, and Boaz then called her aside, knowing that she was married to Mahlon. I guess he found out from someone else that it was married to Mahlon, and says, "You strike me as being a different person than my foreman said that you were, than the work person said that you were. There are people like this guy here, which is why you got to be careful. But don't go and don't worry about it. I'll take care of you." Yeah, what are you gonna say, Dave?
Does Lechik apply to her?
Like, now, no.
If I'm a Jewish landowner, I could throw her out.
Yes, 100%. But she was a Moavi convert, and that made it all the question. And remember, she was converted and somewhat converted. In other words, she converted by the times of Mahlon and Kilion, but she hadn't yet done her full conversion, because when she came to college, this is her first day back, she had not done her full conversion yet. She converted, but it was a conversion where she did it without a Beis Din. She converted accepting the mitzvos, but nobody knew whether it was a good conversion or not. As of right now, it seems like when it comes to there. And then Boaz let out everything. He said, "You know that I'm the next in line, or I'm one of those in line to marry you," he said to Rus, which was shocking. Because number one, who in the world would have said that over to a Moavi woman? Second of all, we're talking about the shofet of Klal Yisrael. But Boaz knew that she needed a little bit of a pick-me-up, and this was the way to pick her up over here. This is the best thing. Oh, perfect, over here. There you go. Grab a Jordy. Look for a Rus right over there. But either way, regardless, so she was shocked. She looked at him, she said, "You're going to take me over everybody else? What in the world does that mean?" And he said, "It's not for anything else," even though she was beautiful, but she was very tsunua. She probably covered most of her body, if not her face as well. I guess that was the minig at the time. He said, "It's not because of that. It's because this is part of Yibum. Yibum is the closest relative gets involved. And even though normally it's the brother, Mahlon didn't have any brothers, although, again, Kilion may have done Yibum on Rus, and then Kilion died. That might have happened as well. But no brothers are alive, so it goes to the next available relative. Boaz says, "I'm right in line. I'm a nephew of your father-in-law, right, of Elimelech, and therefore it could be that I'm going to be the next one in line." So he said, "I'm willing to do it." And she was absolutely shocked. She ended up putting her in the right sides of the fields and made sure that everything was going to be there. He even invited her over to break bread with the rest of the people, right, the workers, where everybody else, all the other people, were just eating whatever they could in the field itself. He asked her to come for the midday meals and said, "For the rest of the harvest season, I want you to join us. You can eat all the bread with us. You can eat all the water with us. Just be careful that there's no yichud issues and you don't go around in a certain place at a certain time." And that's that. And she kept doing it. And then, again, he tried to tell her, I told his workers, "I've given her permission to take anything she wants. She's allowed to be at any place at any time. Don't worry about her, and it should be perfectly fine when she does everything that she's supposed to be over here." That night, that day, at the end of the day, still one day, it's mamash the first day, she took all the wheat. She realized she wasn't going to be able to carry all the wheat home that she had collected for Leket, but it was enough to be able to take care of them for the next couple weeks. So what did she do? She wasn't going to be able to carry everything. She didn't want to ask anybody for help. She was too tsunua to ask anybody else. So she went ahead and took a stone and pounded it into meal, removed all the chaff, and only took the actual grain, put it in a little bag, a sack, or whatever that could fit, took the sack and brought it with her over to Naomi. Now, Naomi hadn't seen her all day. It was late at night when Ruth had come back, and by the time she came back, she was shocked. She said, "What was going on? I thought you were lost. I didn't know what had happened over here." But it was crazy because at that point, right, Naomi didn't know anything. Ruth told her everything that happened. That was the end of Perek Beis, right? And at that point, Boaz didn't make any contact for the next 3 months, according to most Mefarshim. There was Pesach, right, meaning Nisan time, and then Iyar, and then came Sivan. I don't know how many, maybe they counted part of Adar, maybe there was Adar Beis at that season, but for a bunch of months, Boaz did not do a thing. Maybe it was because you're not supposed to get married until 3 months after your wife has passed away. That's not exactly the halacha by a man, because you have the chiyuv of Pru Revu, and Boaz did. Boaz didn't have any children left. He could have married her right after everything had happened, but he said, "I'm going to wait 3 months." It could be that's why. Some of Porshim say, no, this is still over Pesach, and that this actually happened. Rus actually happened on Pesach, not on Shavuot itself. There's a bit of a machlokas, but either way, that's what's going to happen. Now, either way, Naomi had no idea what had happened. She hadn't heard from Boaz. She knew that Boaz had proposed marriage, but had not followed up on it. She was worried that maybe Boaz was thinking about somebody else, and that Rus was going to be left in the fold, and that everybody was going to forget about Rus. So what did she do? Vatomer lo Naomi, this is the beginning of Perek Gimel. Naomi said, Chamos, her mother-in-law, Biti, my daughter. You see the relationship between Rus and Naomi, even though she was only a daughter-in-law, called her my daughter. Halo avakesh loch manoach sheyitav loch. I am looking for some type of security for you, which would be good for you. Might not be good for me, said Naomi, because I'm going to lose you as a daughter. daughter-in-law, you've been helping me for the past couple months, taking care of the harvest and doing everything, but I'm resigned to that loss. I know that it's been a long time since it happened, right? And that's that. And not only that, but hello, she swore. Is it not? Didn't I already swear that I was going to take care of you? She swore to take care of it because she knew if she didn't swear, it wasn't going to happen. It could also be, Naomi swore that I'm going to take care of you, even though it was to her detriment. And not only that, it's going to be Asher Yitablach. It seems like it's going to be good for you, but it was only good for a very short time. Boaz died the next day after she married Rus. It was a bit of a nevuah in Naomi's mouth, which she didn't realize, but it's over there. The word Manoach is a reference to Mashiach. I'm looking for you to be able to beget the children that will eventually lead to Mashiach. And she might have known that as well. That's what came from Naomi over here. So now what happened? Batalo Boaz Modatanu. And now Boaz is our kinsman. Asher Ayis Es Narosav. You were together with his daughter, his young maidens all this time for the past 3 months, collecting. Hineu Zores Gorinas Orem Alayla. You know, he's winnowing the granary of the barley tonight. Now this is the reason why everybody goes so crazy. The barley. Shouldn't it be wheat? Meaning, barley is done on Pesach. Wheat is done on Shavuos. Now, it could be that they waited a couple months for it to dry out and then they winnowed it. But usually the winnowing of the barley is done early and the winnowing of the wheat is done later by Shavuos. That's what throws everybody off. Is this Shavuos or Pesach? That's the one that's a little bit strange. But look at what she says, and this is really, really, really strange. It says, V'rachatzt v'sacht. I want you to wash yourself. Some say that this means, Mamish, now is time for you to go to the mikvah and become a full Gioris. That she was not a full Gioris yet, and this is the time to go. Vosacht, anoint yourself with oil. Vesamt simlo sayich. Put on your good clothing, your Shabbos clothing, alayich, upon you. Vyorat hagoren. And go down to the goren, to the granary itself. Alti vodi li'ishat kalos alecho v'lishtos. Do not let anyone know that you're there. Before the eating and drinking, while the eating and drinking, until everything is all done over there. It seems very, very strange, but she said a very, very strange thing. Again, didn't want anyone to see her. Now, typically, the places where they would go for winnowing would not be up on top of a mountain or anywhere. And the reason why was simple. If you would go ahead and do that and start doing it up on a mountain, it's going to get everywhere. All the chaff and everything is going to go all over the place. If you do it in a valley, it's blocked in by the walls all around you, the natural walls all around you. Throwing up the chaff and getting rid of the garbage, the stuff, and the seeds come straight down. So you collect the seeds and you get rid of the garbage stuff. Yeah, the wind takes it around. But this was an easy way to be able to do it, so the grain wouldn't be blown away together with the chaff itself. She said that, and look what it says: V'hi b'shavcho shachvo. When he lies down, v'yadat es ha'makom asher yishkav sham. You'll know the place that he is lying. Find where Boaz is. Uvos, you will go there. V'gilis margalosav, and you will reveal his legs. Sit down by his legs, by the blanket, v'shachavt, and lie down there. V'yagid lochas asher tasin, and he will tell you what to do. He's going to tell you what to do. Now, this is an unbelievable breach of modesty, and it's shocking almost that Naomi could possibly have suggested this to a person like Rus, to the shofet of all of Klal Yisrael, to so to speak go there. Now, granted, Yibum is only being together with a person, meaning it's a din in being together with a person. There is no kiddushin, there is no official anything. Yibum is just simply sleeping with a person. You don't need Adam either, right? Just Yibum is kona through bia, and that's that. That's definitely true, but suggest such a thing. There isn't, and we'll see later on, that is what Boaz does. He accepts it upon himself, but it really isn't. That's not what Yibum is. That's mimer, but that's not Yibum.
So even like by Tamar, like when the next in lines took, that just means that...
Aaron Onan just slept with her. Or Onan didn't sleep with her, which is why he died.
There was no, like, marriage.
No, there was no actual... No marriage is in a wedding that you know of today. Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't really have that back then. No, this is Ksuva? Get?
Like, oh, I'm not Get. Ksuva, whatever.
Ksuva is the first husband's Ksuva. It just continues. Whatever that was, and right over there. So the question is, obviously, why would she suggest this? Why would she suggest for Rus to do this? So there's a bunch of different answers. Number one, to show him that it had to be done l'shem shamayim. That if you're willing to be together with me, this is almost like a test. Are you willing to hold yourself back from being together with me now so that you do so l'shem shemayim and not out of taiva? Right? Are you willing to do it? But that's a strange one because you don't put people under those types of tests. Nobody does that. You cannot test somebody in such a fashion. That's a crazy thing. Number two, you're putting it in God's hands where you're putting something in a Kaddish Baruch Hu's hands and it's right there. But again, that type of a thing is also a little bit strange. Why in the world would you do that instead of going up and talking to him again? You're putting it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. What does that mean? Boaz is right there. It's not like he's inaccessible. And you're a relative, and he already promised you that he was going to be together with you. They didn't know what the holdup is. They could not figure out what the holdup is. So putting it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands is still a strange answer. The third one is a little bit strange, but it does make a little bit of sense. It's a remez to what happened with Lot and his daughters. Lot and his daughters caused the eventual progeny that caused Ruth to come into being. And maybe she thought that it had to be a remez of, look what Lot did with his daughters, and yet it caused Mashiach. You should also be together with Rus, and that'll cause Mashiach. Maybe she wanted it to be in such a way. Yehuda and Tamar were the same way, eventually brought Mashiach, even though it looked weird. Maybe Rus and Boaz had to be together in a strange way. That's the way to get around the Sutton to make it be for Mashiach. I'm sorry?
Tov?
We haven't gotten to him Tov yet.
Yeah, but like what? Doesn't she know at this point, or she doesn't know that?
I don't know. We definitely don't see it. Naomi didn't suggest Tov. We only have Boaz over here, and Boaz definitely said that I'm willing to do it. And then comes the famous idea of knocking out the Satan. But it is definitely strange. The Ralbag says, based on the Shoresh Yishai and the Nachlas Yosef, that Boaz is performing Yibum on Rus needed an unconventional approach. And the reason why, he says, in order to succeed, you need a small quality of Azus Metzach, of brazen behavior, in order to make sure that certain things are necessary. So Rus needed to appear at night to show what type of an intimate nature of this visit was going to be. And that was the idea that the Ralbag says. But the Alshech says that Naomi was 100% sure through Nevuah that it had to be this way, and that Boaz was going to have a child with Ruth, and she also knew that Boaz was about to die. And when was Boaz going to die? The next night. So she thought, and almost rightly so, you've got to be together tonight because he's dead tomorrow night. And therefore, the Alshech says, you have to do something right now, and if you don't do something right now, it's going to be horrible for you. Meaning, you're not going to have a child, and not that. So therefore, because she was... there was no choice. You have no other thing to be able to do. She said, you have to do it through Arias. You have to be able to have this child. It's going to have to be through Arias. If Boaz hasn't said yes to you and he's dying tomorrow night, which she was right about, there's nothing else we can do. We have to do this right now. That's how Ramosha Alshech says. But Rus did it in a more sinua way, as we'll see. She didn't sleep with him on that night on purpose. She didn't feel right doing such a thing, and that's that. Chelek B'nai Yehuda says any time where you're doing something L'shem Shamayim that wouldn't be considered improper by such people. By us, we wouldn't do it in the proper fashion. But by people like Rus and Boaz and Naomi, then it would be considered proper, even though normally there's no way to be able to do such a thing. Yichud, you don't have to worry about Yichud. Why don't you have to worry about Yichud? Yichud was only assured by the times of Shmuel and Avi. Shmuel and Avi wasn't born yet. So Yichud was not an issue yet. I'm sorry? With the workers themselves, probably just for simple issues. Like, you don't want to be alone with those guys. But not else the Isra of Yichud. It hadn't been created yet, right? Unless it was some type of, you know, something a little bit different. Anyway, the idea is that Naomi was suggesting something that was going to be better for us, even though it definitely was strange when it came to all this. She was also worried that there were other people who were going to take Boaz if Boaz kept waiting like this. The 3 months were almost up since the time that his wife had passed away. It seems like people were coming somewhat near, and everything's going to be okay. And that's that. Why uncover his feet? In other words, sit by the feet and, you know, undo the feet itself. Well, what's Yibum? What do you do by Yibum? There's either Yibum or there's Chalitza. Chalitza is when the person doesn't accept. So by uncovering his feet, it's sort of a remez. Either you do Yibum on me, or you take off your shoes, or I take off your shoes, whatever it is, and you're doing chalitza. It's one of the two. It's your choice. I just want you to make a decision already so I decide who I'm going to be able to marry, right? I don't want this to keep going in this way. That's the idea of what had happened. Now, what happened was like this. Vayochal, here we go, it says, and Pasuk, hey, Vatomri Elah, she said to her, Kol Asher Tomri Elai, Ese. Everything you tell me to do, I'm going to do. If you notice, the word Eli is not in the Pasuk. The word velo is in the Pasuk. You see that over there? Everything you tell me to do, I'm going to do. But what she said is, I don't understand anything you're saying right now. It runs counter to everything I stand for and runs counter to everything I've learned about Judaism. But if you're telling it to me, well, yeah, again, but the real wording, right, is velo. But you're telling me to do it, I'm going to go ahead and do it, meaning it's nothing to do with me. It's not what I want to do. Velo. I personally would say no to this. If you're asking me to do it, I would say no. But you're not asking me. You're telling me to do it? She said, all right, I accept. I'm going to go ahead and do it. So she went. And she went down to the Goren and she did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. She was ready to do in that way everything that she was to do. The only thing she did differently is she didn't anoint herself or bathe herself until she got to the granary and the threshing floor. She didn't want to go ahead and do that in front of other people because it would look bad for a single lady to be dressed up in that way as she's walking out into the field. So Boaz ate and drank and he was very happy. Some say that he was happy because he got drunk. He never got drunk and he never drank. But this time he got drunk and it was happening on purpose, again, to be almost like Lot and what happened with his two daughters, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to happen that way, and he still was strong enough not to be with Rus, which is an amazing level. Others say, Vayitiv Libo, simply put, he benched and he learned Torah. And that Rus watched him learn, and because it was Vayitiv Libo in what he was doing, he was happy and went to his Vayavol Ishkav B'Ktzeh Arema, and he went to sleep on the side of the Arema, Vatovo Balot, he went, and she went quietly, Vatalgo Margalosa Vatishkav, she uncovered his feet, and she lied down right over there. Now, the reason why he went separately is because, first of all, he was a big aristocrat, he was extremely wealthy, and he's a shofet of Klal Yisrael. He's not lying down together with all the other people. That made a lot of sense. But there were people all around. He still had shamashim, people that were serving. He was over 100 years old, right? People are serving and people are going to be around. But he went separately to the side, which is amazing. He was there. Why was he there that night? Why didn't he sleep at home that night? It's not like he was a worker. The answer is, he didn't trust them when it came to stealing. He wanted to make sure that nobody stole, which tells you something even crazier. Rus, they were all looking for thieves that night. And yet Rus was able to get in. She was hiding and going around like a thief. And they were all looking for thieves that night, and yet still she wasn't caught.
Are you saying
caught.
This is not his main residence?
I'm sorry? No, definitely not. This is the granary. You don't sleep in granaries.
Oh, I meant like it's like his farm.
Yeah, but he doesn't live in a farm, right? He's got to live by Jews. He's a shofet. Right. So, no, he wouldn't have been anywhere near. This is a really, really strange thing. But it is absolutely amazing that she wasn't caught as she was going in over here. By Yibachatzi Alayla, in the middle of the night. It's amazing. David HaMelech used to get up in the middle of the night in order to wake up and learn Torah. Boaz did the exact same thing. It came from Boaz. That minig to get up in the middle of the night, Chatzos Laila, Akum Lahodus Lach, came from Boaz. Middle of the night, by Yechrad Ish, he all of a sudden became very, very afraid. By Yilafes. He either tossed and turned, stretched his legs and hit Rus, obviously, right? Or all of a sudden he became terrified, thinking that there's something there. All of a sudden he saw a woman who was standing by the foot of the bed. He put his hand on her head. According to the Gemara, a woman demoness doesn't have hair. So when he put his hand on top of her head and realized that she had hair, he realized it was a real woman, not a demoness. Why he didn't think that it was a demoness that was dressed up like a woman, I don't know. But he realized that it was woman itself. Can't ask me about Nagia in this case. I think he was scared out of his mind and he was reaching over there. So I think that's okay. It's okay to reach out over there. But regardless, what's also really weird, this is the middle pasuk of Megillas Rus. Isn't that a strange thing altogether? But this is the middle pasuk. In the middle of the night, this is the middle pasuk. If this is Pesach, this is the middle of the night of the late night of Pesach. Yibachati Alil Pesach, right? It's right there at midnight, because everything happens at midnight at Pesach. But that is weird, because you'd think that he'd be eating the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim at this time. That would be very, very strange.
So
most likely, it's around Shavuos. I'm sorry?
Can you win out on Pesach?
No, but you could do Erev Pesach. So it wouldn't have been so bad if it was the night of Pesach. But it would have been strange. Why is he not eating the Korban Pesach? Even if you have the granary there, you have a chiyuv of the Korban Pesach, which is chayiv kareis. If you don't do, he should be by the Mishkan. There was no Beis HaMikdash. He should have been by the Mishkan at the time. What, Ben?
I was saying, you mean like numerically, like it's like the actual middle Pesach?
Yeah, yeah, meaning the numbers. Yeah, the numbers of Pesukim over there. Not only that, by Yacharad, he had a nevuah that night. And his dream involved watching his great-grandson, David HaMelech, who we'd never see, fighting against the Plishim and beating them. And that's what he saw when he woke up. And he realized what had happened. Vayomer mi'ot. He said, who are you? Vatomer anochi Rus. Amasecha. I am Rus, your maidservant. Uparasa knefecha l'amasecha. You should spread your cloak over your amak. Ki goelata, because you are my redeemer. Here, by the way, is the minig of the chuppah. This is where chuppah comes from. All chuppahs come from this idea of parasta kenefecha lamasecha. You should spread your wings, so to speak, over. That's our meaning of having a talis or some type of chuppah over of where we get it over here. You're the goel. It's time for you to take over, for you to be able to do this over here. Some say when he said the word mi'at, he was including everything. Are you single? Or are you married? Are you somebody betrothed? Are you not betrothed? Are you a nida? Are you not a nida? He was asking all the questions to make sure that this is something that would have been okay, because at this point he had still deciding, he had the taiva, and he was ready to be together with her, and wasn't sure what was going to be. Okay, that is that. Vayomer, brucha at la'ashem. You should be blessed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, biti, my daughter. And I think he did that on purpose to be able to keep him away from her at this point to consider like a daughter. Now, granted, he was 100 years old, she was 40, right? If that's done in America, that's making all the newspapers, right? So I think he clearly wanted to keep himself away as much as he could. Hey, taft chastei cha'achro min orishon, your chesed that you're trying to do right now, to do well, I see you're doing this against your will and against what you wanted. You would never do this normally, but you're doing this because your mother-in-law clearly wants you to get married, and you're doing this for Machlon, to make a name for Machlon. For Yibum, this is even greater than your first chesed that you did for Naomi by joining her and helping her out by taking leket, etc. Levilti lecha sacharei abachurin. You don't even want to go after the young men, im dalvi mashir, whether they're poor or rich, whatever it is. You don't want to go after anything else. You're going specifically for somebody who's an old man. Granted, I'm a tzaddik, right, and I'm known as a shofet of Klal Yisrael, but you're going for the wrong person. You want to have children. You're going for somebody that's the most chashiv, that shows something about you. Now, granted, you say this nowadays. You say, like, the young girl is going for the old man who's going to die soon, so that all the property remains for her, right? That's what you normally do. But you got to remember, that's not how it worked back then. The property did not go to the wife. She got her ksuva, and that was it. The property went to the next person who was around. Now, Boaz had no children, which means anyway she'd have to wait. So there was no advantage to her marrying Boaz right now or being together with Boaz right now if she wasn't doing this L'shem Shemayim. Even if Boaz died, she doesn't get anything. She gets no more than she'd have right now already.
Who would the property go to right now?
Who, Boaz's father. If Boaz's father is dead, then Boaz's father's sons, who at this point would have been Tov, but whoever it would be, that's who would inherit the property.
What if they saw that she was pregnant? Wouldn't they just be like, oh, it's going to the... maybe.
How would they know?
Oh, well, like, okay, let's say it came out a boy, then it...
How would they know?
They have to...
Who's going to know about this?
Right. They have to decide at the time he dies.
So either way, regardless, Rus... No. But my point was that Rus is not doing this in order to marry him in order to get the money. Because if she was trying to do that, right, she wouldn't get anything. That wouldn't go to him. That wouldn't happen whatsoever. Either way, regardless, that's the idea behind it over here. So we have a couple little things over here that he talks about over here. That where was this over here? Right, waking up at midnight, I said already. The other opinion, the rogue. Okay, so now, what ends up happening over here? So he said, the atabidi altiri. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. Kosher tomri esalach. Everything that you say, I'm going to do to you. In other words, I will marry you, and I will take care of you, and I'm going to do yibum. Because everybody at my gate knows how great of a woman you are and how tremendous you are. They all know already. It's been 3 months. They've been watching you the whole time. You've done amazing things for them. And they also know that you don't have a chazakah for killing people. Even though Machlon died and then Kilyon possibly died, so you've already killed two husbands, they don't think of you as a husband killer. They're not looking at you that way. Ki amnam, ki im goel anochi. If I have the ability to be redeemed, I would if I could, but there's a redeemer that's closer than me. The reason why I've been waiting is because I've been waiting for Tov to come along, my uncle. I am a son of Salmon, but my uncle, Tov, is the closest relative. Because when Machlon and Kilyon died, their father was the closest relative to them. The father's brothers are the closest relative to him. The father's brother's children are the closest relative after that. So, because, what's his name, was still alive, Tov was still alive, Boaz was not first in line to marry Rus. He was the next in line as Salmon's son. That was the person who was next in line. And therefore said Boaz, I am only there after this happened. I've been waiting for Tov to make a decision himself about what he wants to do. I haven't seen him. I haven't done anything with him. Tov is a very, very private person. Lini alayla, sleep here tonight. And the reason why he said sleep here tonight is because now he was in control. He wasn't worried about being together with her. Wasn't worried about anything. Now he was worried about one simple thing. This is going to look horrible if people see us leave together in the middle of the night from our thing. By the way, as a side note, there were people there that were already awake by this time. And they heard Boaz talking with her because there were still people like the Shamashim, but they didn't say anything. Because when Boaz woke up and saw them, he said, you should know I didn't do a thing, and they all trusted him. Every single person trusted him. But Lini alayla baboker, im yigaleich tov yigol. If Tov redeems you, then good. Right? Some say that Tov is just good. He'll redeem you. We don't know the actual name of the person. But we think that the name is Tov. Im lo yachbotz legaleich, and if he doesn't want to redeem you, ugaltich, then I will redeem you. Anochi. Chai Hashem shichvi adaboker. So I swear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sleep until the morning, it'll all be taken care of right over here. Atishka Margalosov says she fell asleep at his feet at a boker up until the morning. She got up before any man could recognize a friend. In other words, right before Alosa Shachar, Vayomer, Al Yivadaki Va Yishar Goren. I don't want anyone to know that a woman came to the granary, because he told everybody, people saw her away, whatever it is, and said, I don't want this happening. I don't want anything happening. Some say he actually said it out loud. Otherwise, that he actually told the Avadim. Others said that it was just an issue of he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't let anyone see us. Please don't let anyone see us, because it's going to look horrible. Vayomer, Havi Amitbachas Hashor Alayich. Bring the kerchief that is upon you. I guess she was wearing a kerchief or she had something around her, whatever it is, but bring the kerchief. Why? Well, this is going to hide her. If she's carrying a sack of grain, then what's she going to look like? Like a guy. Because remember, they all wore robes back then, so they're all wearing long skirts, right? So if you wear it like that, then it'll be a little bit different. The Echziba, grab onto it. Vatochezba, and she grabbed onto it. Yomad Shesh Saorin, he measured out 6 barley beans. Okay, big macher over here, 6 barley beans. But clearly that was a remez, the 6 tzaddikim that are going to come from her in the future. By Yoshe Zaleh, he put it upon her, by Yavo'ir, and then they came into the city, and by Yavo, you see that it's masculine, not by Yavoa. It doesn't say Vatavo, that she came into the city, because she didn't look like a woman. She looked like a man, as if a guy was bringing this into the city, right, so that nobody would think anything different. Vatavo Chomos, she came to her mother-in-law, Vatomer, Miat. Her mother-in-law said, who are you? Now, the reason why she said, who are Miat Biti? Are you my daughter? The reason why is because she locked the door. It was still early in the morning. She had not gotten up yet. Naomi had waited up all night to see what had happened. She had fallen asleep right before morning. And when Rus came and knocked on the door, she looked at the door and she saw a guy. Because it was just shadows out there and it was dark outside. She said, who are... Oh, you're my daughter. So that's what she caught right over there. The tagid las kosher also law ish, and she said everything that Boaz had done, and obviously what Boaz had not done, that we did not sleep together, there was no yibum, but he promised me that we're going to be together on that day. Vatomer sheish asorim ha'ila nasan li, he gave me these 6 barley beans. Ki omer elai al tavoi reikam al chamoseich. I don't want you going empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Because immediately, Naomi said, wait a second, if he gave you food, that means he's not expecting to see you tomorrow. He said he was going to marry you tomorrow. What's he giving you food for this coming up day? She said, no, it's not for me, it's for you. It was for the mother-in-law, so it was sort of, let's speak, like, this is the minig of giving gifts to the mother, from the mother-in-law back and whatever it is. I don't remember ever, as a chassan, giving a gift to my mother and father-in-law, aside from myself.
That's why they don't like you.
That's, this is why. Should have given them 6 barley beans.
Took you this long, but we finally
6 barley beans and a handkerchief. That's what I should have done. I should have given it over and been like, look at that. That should have been there. Vatomer, Shvibiti, sit my daughter, Asher Tatin, until you know what's going on. What was she about to do? Rus was like, all right. It's time to go to the fields and collect leket again. Naomi's like, no, you're getting married today. It's not what you're doing. Asher Tatin, Eich Yipol Davar, how everything's going to fall, Kilo, Yishkara Ishkin, Kilo Adavar Ayom. I guarantee you this man will not rest until everything is done today. And there was an actual nevuah of how everything was going to go through, how everything was going to happen over here. What else? Right, she thought that it was a man standing there. I don't know where this is from. I think I just lost that one. Okay, either way, regardless, that was that. And, there's another one. Boaz and Rus shouldn't see each other another time during the day until Boaz is going to marry her. That's the minug. The chassid not seeing the kala. That's where it comes from, right? From right over here. That's where they bring it down. Pretty good, right? There's also, it could be from the Yitzhahara that was involved and everything like that. Okay, now we got in Perek Dalet.
So
we got some
day.
Big
why
stuff.
Why would people do a week?
Just because we're afraid of what's going to happen. That's the only reason why. But Boaz Allah Shar, Boaz came up to the gate by Yishev Shami, sat there. Bina Goel over Asher Dibra Boaz. All of a sudden, the Goel, the Redeemer that Boaz had been speaking about the night before, passed by. He wasn't normally on the way out. Tov normally never went out of his house. He was an old man, and he used to stay at home. I mean, if Boaz is 100 years old, you can imagine his uncle is like 100 billion years old, right? He never used to go outside, and yet here he was outside. But Yomer, Sur Shavapo, Ploni Almoni, Vayasar Yeshiv, come and sit here, Ploni Almoni. Ploni Almoni, the reason why we don't say his name directly is because he doesn't do something that's so good over here, so we purposely don't want to say his name to say... Like, we don't want to make fun of him for not doing what he was supposed to do with Rus, right? To go over there. We're going to see a bunch of things that were over here. Because he rejected Rus, right? Because he rejected Rus. Tov was never his name. It just says, if he redeems you, good. But Chazal tell us that Tov was his actual name. That was his name. That Elimelech, his brother was Tov, and another brother was Salmon, and Boaz is the son of Salmon. That was that.
Hashem wanted him to reject Rus so that it could go to Boaz.
Yeah, I guess so.
So then Hashem had Rachmanas by omitting his name.
Yeah, it's not a bad call. And notice, by the way, it says, Allah Hashar, you went up to the gate. Why? Because again, the threshing floor was normally down inside a valley. Sanhedrin usually sat at the top of the city. The cities were usually on top of a mountain somewhere, and therefore we had to go up in order to get over there, wherever there. We already went over here. Pliny Almoni, some say the name comes from the word Elam, as in mute, that he was mute in halacha, and he didn't know the halacha that you were allowed to marry a Moabi woman, and that he really should have married Rus, but he did not right over here. Also, Boaz said to him, I know you're a Pliny Almoni. I know you want to remain anonymous. You never want to be known among other people. I realize that you like being by yourself. But look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it, that you came to the Beis Din on this day where we need you. And that's what he went ahead and did. So what do you do? He took 10 people from the Zakenim of the city, and he said, sit here, and they sat down. Some say this was the Sanhedrin, 10 men of the Sanhedrin. Others say it was just random Zakenim. He found some random Zakenim, and he said, come here, guys, I want you guys to sit down. He wanted a minion to publicize two things. Number one, the fact that Pliny Almoni rejected Rus and that he was going to marry her. So that everybody know that. Number two, to publicize the halacha, Moavi velo Moavia. A Moavi can't join Klal Yisrael, but a Moavia can join Klal Yisrael. He wanted a minion to be able to darshan that out. Now, here's the problem. You cannot make up a halacha after the case is already upon you. I mean, you can't get up there after something's right there and get up right and get up there and be like, oh, you can marry a Moavi woman, which is why he did two things on that day. He brought back Kinyan Chalipin. Kinyan Chalipin is something that was lost over the years. Chalipin of where if I want to do something, right, and I want you to be in charge of it, Dave, I'm going to take off my watch or something. I'll give it to you. You lift it up, and I'm like, okay, perfect. And that makes you in charge. That Kinyan had been lost in Klal Yisrael. Boaz brought it back on that day. This day, he brought it back, and he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring this back. And once he brought that halacha, the halacha is that you can bring up one halacha, and once you bring up that halacha that nobody had heard of before, which doesn't suit your need, because he didn't need that. He could have done the Kinyan any other way. Then you can also bring up another halacha of Moavi v'lo Moavia. Then we trust you, even though you're no Gea Bedover in that case. So that's why he did that specifically, as we'll see in a second. So he brought in a minion to be able to bring everything. Interesting. The Amalois then goes into the Sheva Brachos and everything else over here. I skipped that part. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. He said to the Redeemer, there was a portion of the field that our brother, it's weird that he said our brother when it wasn't his brother, it was his uncle, but Elimelech had, Machra Naami. By the way, there are those that say that Boaz was the brother of Tov and Elimelech, but Tov was older than Boaz, which meant Tov came first. By the way, Elimelech, Machra Naami Ashava Mistei Moav. Naami has sold this when she returned from the fields of Moav. There's a problem with this. You're not allowed to redeem a field that someone sold for a relative until 2 years have passed. This is not 2 years. This is a couple months since Naomi had returned from the fields of Moab. It is 100%. Yeah, it's from the Torah. It's in Parshas Bechukosai. So you can't do it. So what did he mean? It's since that time, you're not allowed to buy it back. So either one of two things. Either Naomi had already sold it before she had left the land of Moab, or you could say that the sale took place right over there, but the seller did not, it wasn't a full sale. Since she didn't really own the land, she was only a widow, she had the rights to the land, but until she got her full ksuva and the closest relative came around, it really was his, and this isn't really a redemption, but more of a, like, let's stop this sale from happening so that Naomi has enough money to be, you know, to be able to live out the rest of her life. It was sort of like, let's deal with it that way. Maybe that'll be easier. There is a third answer over here, and it's a little bit crazy. Halacha is, in order to do Yibum, you are allowed to do trickery. If a younger brother wants to do Yibum over an older brother, he's allowed to trick the person into saying things in such a fashion where you end up doing Yibum instead. And that halacha may be learned out from over here as well. That Boaz had said to him, let's go ahead and do this. And by him agreeing to redeem the field showed that he was an Ama Aretz and not worthy of marrying Rus, or was trying to show him, here's what we can do, when really the field was not sold at all. It was never sold. He had lied about the field being sold in order to try to get him involved, and when he rejected it, he rejected everything. There's a lot of crazy things going on. I said, Eglos Nechalemor, I gotta tell you, Kinei Negeda Yoshvin, the Negeda Zikne Ami, so you should buy it, this field, opposite the people sitting here, opposite the elders of my nation. I mean, to go. And if you want to redeem it, redeem. Bim lo yigal, but if you don't redeem, hagidili, tell me, the Eda, and I will know. Ki ein zulas ho ligol, because there is no one at your stature to redeem. No one is as close as you. Vanu chach recha, but I'm after you. So if you don't redeem it, then I'm getting the field. What do you think? Said Boaz to Tov. Vayomer, Tov said, Anochi Yagol. All right, I'll redeem it. It's going to cost me a lot of money, but I'm going to go ahead and redeem it. Said, I'm going to help out Naomi. I'm fine with that. Vayomer Boaz. Now it says in Pasuk K. When you buy this field from the hands of Naomi and from Rus. Oh, did I forget to mention Rus? I forgot to mention Rus. I'm sorry. The fields also belong to Rus because Machlon married Rus and possibly Kilion. And there's a ksuva involved over here. So you got to pay both of them. When you buy these fields, Asher Ames, right? Asher Ames, the wife of the dead. Kanisa, you have bought it. Lahakim Shem Ames Anachlaso. You are establishing the name of the dead upon their inheritance over here. Now, I didn't want to mention Rus beforehand, but now that you say that you're going to buy it, you're going to redeem it, I'll tell you that there's another thing you have to do over here. There's a little bit of Lahakim Shem Hames. That's the wording that's used by Rus, by Yibum, I'm sorry. Vayomar Agol, Lo Choli Goli. He said, whoa, wait a second. You're telling me that if I want to redeem the field, not only do I have to redeem the field, but I have to do Yibum on Rus as well? I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that. I can't redeem it then. That might ruin my inheritance, my own portions. Ga'olacha, you should do it then, he said to Boaz. We'll explain in 1 second. Ga'olacha, you should do as gulasi, my inheritance. Kilo chaligol. I'm not going to be able to do it over here. Now, what did he mean by that? So there are 8 answers as to what he meant by all this. Number one, I'm already married. If I marry another woman, it's going to ruin my marriage already. Granted, he's like 125, but he said, like, I don't want to marry another woman. That's ridiculous. There's no way that I'm going to marry another woman when I already have. You, Boaz, you're unmarried. You don't have any kids. You should marry. That's what he said to Boaz. That's one. Number two, he was worried about his own kids. He was worried that his kids will start being known as, oh, your father went ahead. It was going to ruin his own yichus. He's got, I got kids to marry off who are like 80. I don't know what to do over here. I can't let them get that name. I can't do that. Number three, he knew that Rus was a very beautiful woman. He said, in order to do Yibum, you have to do it L'Shem Shemayim. You can't do it out of Taiva. I can't, that woman is too beautiful for me. I can't do it not L'Shem Shemayim. I can't do it. There's no way I'm going to be able to do it. So he rejected. He said, I can't do it. There's no way I'm going to be able to do it. Number four, he thought that she was Moaviah and that it was still Usser. Right. Even though the Beis Din and Boaz said, no, it's nothing wrong with it. Don't worry whatsoever. He said, no, I'm not marrying a Moavi woman. I'm not doing it whatsoever. Number five, he thought she had a chazaka of killing her husbands. You killed Machlon. You killed Kilion. I don't want you to kill me. Right? I don't want to do that whatsoever. So that's that. Okay? Number six, he didn't want to do Yibum because if you do Yibum, then your children are not considered your own. They're considered the dead brothers or whatever it is, Machlon's kids. He said, I want my own kids. That will ruin my Nachlads as if I don't have any kids over here. Number seven, I'm not choshev enough. If I marry a Moavi, and he might have been right about this, if I marry a Moavi woman, people will be like, doesn't mean anything. But if you, Boaz, the shofet of Klal Yisrael, marry a Moavi woman, then everybody's going to accept it as a halacha. Then they'll accept and they'll say, oh, this guy's actually there. Number eight, I don't have enough money. I have enough money to be able to redeem one field. I don't have enough money to redeem all the fields. You didn't tell me that was Rus and what's it called, the Naomi's field. I only have enough money to do one. I don't have enough to do all of them. For all of those reasons, he rejected it and said, I can't do it.
Own fields?
Machlon's field. Machlon owns something.
Naomi had some fields of her own.
Well, no, her husband's. Elimelech.
And Rus had
Machlon's. Technically, Machlon, because he died after Elimelech, owned those fields. All of Naomi's fields.
Right.
Machlon owned all of them because the wife only gets the ksuva, but all the fields go to Machlon. When Machlon died, they all went to Rus. Whoever marries Rus gets all of Machlon's fields, which includes Elimelech's, which is all of Naomi's fields.
Naomi really own anything?
No, there was no actual ownership of anything, which is why she didn't really sell it, which is why it seems to have all been a trick from Boaz to be able to get Ploni Almoni to say no, so that he could marry. So now it says in Pasuk Zayin, Vizos Lefanim B'Yisrael, this is what they used to do in B'nai Yisrael, so it sounds like it was rejected, it hadn't been done in a while. Alagul of Altumur, when you redeemed and exchanged things, L'Kayim called over to make sure that everything happened correctly, Shalof Ishnalo, each person would take off their shoe. It's interesting, by the way, Targum Yonas and Menuzil says it was a glove, not a shoe. They never used shoes, because that was improper. You don't take off your shoe, what if your shoe smells, you know? You take off your glove and you use the glove, even though it says na'al, it refers to a glove. V'nasan l'ariyo, you give it to your friend. V'zos etudu l'Yisrael, that was what was known in B'nai Yisrael. Big question about how chalipin works, by the way. What happened? Did Boaz take off his shoe and give it to Tov, and then Tov lifted the shoe up? So that he was saying, I'm giving you the rights to marry? Or did Tov give Boaz his shoe and Boaz lifted it up? Which one is it? If you go to a wedding, what ends up happening, right? The rabbi has the pen, gives it to the guy, and then the guy lifts up the pen and then gives it back to the rabbi, right? It's the guy giving the rights to the rabbi to do the marriage for him, right? That's the idea. You give it over to him. But it is a question what you're going to do over here. It's a question regarding a pen itself also. What is considered a kli? A shoe and a glove are chashuv, and that's something that you can use as a redemption, you know, for a chalipin. Can you use a pen? Is a pen good enough? Most people say yes, and I wouldn't make a stink at a wedding. I'm not going to a wedding and be like, that's not good, right? But it's a big question, right? You can't use money. Money cannot be used.
It was kind of weird because we learned it that if you're the buyer, mm-hmm. you ask the seller to hold it up, mm-hmm. and then the seller agrees to sell something to you.
Granted, yeah. But the question is it that way? Because the Navi doesn't mention which one did which. It doesn't say who did it. Look what it says. Vayomer agol avoz, kinei lach, acquire it for yourself, vayishlof nalo, and then he took off his shoe. Who took off his shoe? It doesn't say. Was it Boaz or was it Tov? We don't know. Pasuk test. Vayomer Boaz Zakenim v'chola am edim atem. Boaz said to the Zakenim and all the people, you guys were a bunch of witnesses, Hayom. Ki kanisi es kol she'al Eli Melech, es kol she'al Chilin Amachlon Ya'Naami, that I have acquired that which belongs to Eli Melech and all that belongs to Chilin Amachlon from the hands of Naomi. I had just done it over here. Now, the reason why I did it publicly is to make sure there were no other claims, which explains something big. You're going to waste Sanhedrin on something like that? What are you kidding me? The Zakenim are way too chashuv to use as edim in a silly little case. But it could be you wanted to make sure there were no claims, and that's why you wanted it public, as well as the fact that there's going to be a marriage over here as well. It says, the Gamis Rusam, oh, and by the way, notice he said Machlon v'Kilion, right? Kilion u'Machlon. Again, because it could be that Machlon died first, and then Kilion married Rus, did Yibam on Rus, and that it all came from Kilion. Okay, either way, the Gamis Rusam over here.
Six, and there's six.
Tzadikim?
Yeah.
That's a bad remez. The Gamis, Rusam Ovia, Eshes Machlon, right? And also Rusam Ovia, the wife of Machlon, Kanisi Li Li Isha, I've acquired for myself as a wife, the Hakim Shema Mesa Nachalaso, in order to Yibum, Vla Yikari Shema Mesa Mehemachav, and the name of the dead will not be lost from his brothers, Misha Makomo, Edim Atamayo, and from the gate of his place. You are all Edim today. That's that. So, do you all Emayomru, Kala'am, Masher Bashar Vazakanim, Edim. We are all witnesses. And that's, by the way, the reason at a wedding, when you see the wedding happening, when the Edim are up there watching the ring go onto the finger of the woman, they say, they whatever it is, right? Makudish, Makudish, or whatever it is. They say, Edim, Edim, whatever it is. It's something to say that we are here, we're witnesses, we saw it.
Weddings would be so different.
Well, this is what we do. Yitin Hashem say, Isha Abol Abesecha. God should give you this wife and come into your house. Kerachol v'kaleya, like Rachel and Leah, Shabanu Shteim as Beis Yisrael that they built up in Yisrael. Vaseichayo v'afrosu krashem beveis lachem. Vaseichayo v'afrosu. They should be prospering in Ephros, right? Ephrat, and call out a name in Beis Lechem. Remember, he Boaz was from Yehuda, so Beis Lechem would be the normal place where you'd go. The Beis Lechem Beis Peretz, your house should be like house of Peretz. It happened to be that he was sixth generation from Peretz, Boaz. Does that make sense? Asher Yolda Tamar LeYehuda, the Tamar it had from Yehuda. Obviously, we've had all the similarities between Tamar and Rus up until now. That Hashem will give you these children from this young lady. Boaz then took Rus as a wife. She became his wife. Now, remember, through Yibum, there's no real Kiddushin. It's just Bia. There's nothing else. He was together with her. Hashem immediately made her pregnant. And she gave birth to a child. Now, notice, it doesn't say Vayoled LeBoaz Bain. Yeah. 9 months later, obviously, but it doesn't say Vayolad LeBoaz, right, Ben? It doesn't say that. The reason why it doesn't say Vayolad LeBoaz is because Boaz died the next morning. Boaz was gone. Now, there is an opinion that says that Boaz did not die, and the child that was born was something totally different, but it does say Vatelid Bain, right? She was born in a child. You know what's something interesting over here? Rus is not known as Rus HaMoavia for one of the first times in the text. She always is known as Rus HaMoavia, but now she's no longer Rus HaMoavia. Now she's just Rus, and that was that. Tremendous siyata dishmai was needed over here. Rus is 40. He was over 100. The odds of them having a child in the first bia, right, when they were together, is extremely low. Granted, she wasn't a basula, because she had been together with Machlon and possibly Kilian as well, but nonetheless, there's a tremendous amount of siyata dishmai that happened to be over here. Oved, who's the child that's born over here, was born mahol. He was born with a bris mila, which is what the Midrash says, but we'll see what happens. Vatomarna Nashim al Naami. Listen to this. The woman say to Naami, Baruch Hashem Asher Lo Hishpis Lach Goel Hayom, that they have not left you without a redeemer today. V'Yikari Shmo B'Yisrael, may his name be called Bnei Yisrael. Notice the woman are calling his name. The woman. It's not Rus. It's not Naomi. Some say that Rus died. That Rus had died after she had given birth. And that's why they were saying to Naomi, because Naomi raised the child. There was no Rus, there was no Boaz. So both of them had died. Yeah.
Gemara that says that Shmuel sat next to his great-grandmother.
Shlomo sat next to his great-grandmother, and it says it was Rus, right? The queen was sitting on the throne, is against this Medrash, right? That's one of the two over here. But everybody is seeing the miracle in all this. There's two ways of looking at this. One person would look at it and say, like, wow, Boaz died the next morning? That looks pretty bad. And they're just going to be like, that's strange. Like, how could that have happened? Clearly, Boaz was wrong. But the people saw the miracle in all this, as opposed to the bad thing behind all this. Boaz lost all this children and his wife, married Ruth, and had a child the next day. They saw it as good, even though it's clear that other things could have been seen in the other way. This should return your soul. They said to Naomi, and support you in your old age. Because again, if Ruth was gone and Boaz was gone, who is supporting Naomi? I'm sorry. Your daughter-in-law that you loved, Yolatatu, right? She gave birth for you. And this child is better than you, than seven sons, because you have something from it, something that's right over there. So that's the idea behind it. Some say that it was the seventh in line from Peretz. There's Peretz, Chatzron, Aminadav, Ram, Nachshon, Salmon, and Boaz. So the seventh generation will be the holiest. Vatikach Naomi is a yelid. Naomi took the child, Vatiseu Bechaika, she carried it in her bosom. And she became the nursemaid for this child. Weird, right? Because where's Rus? If Rus is not dead, these are weird psukim. Unbelievable. Right? Just like, it's just so strange. It's really, really strange. Yeah, it's funny, by the way, because Ploni Almoni was still the next in line to marry Rus after Boaz died. When Boaz died, Ploni Almoni was next. So what would have happened? Anyway,
what about Naomi getting married?
She was older. There was no point to her getting married. And the neighbors called the name saying, Yulad ben Lenami, a child was born to Naomi. And she called his name Oved. Oved. Hu avi Yishai avi David. The father of Yishai, the father of David. Unbelievable. Oved. Here's the weird part. There is a minhag in Yibum to name the child after the person that died. So the child's name should have been Machlon. And if not Machlon, you should name him Boaz. Right? Because Boaz is dead. There are people that are named after the father. For example, the Nesivus HaMishpat. His name was Yaakov Milisa. His name was Yaakov Ben Yaakov. His father died before he was born. So he's known as Yaakov Ben Yaakov. So it's not like it doesn't exist. He should have been named Boaz Ben Boaz. That should have been his name. Or Machlon. So because she couldn't decide either it was Rus or Naomi, which one it should be, they said he should be an Oved Hashem. So they called him Oved. That's where the name came from. Should just be an Oved Hashem, and that should be good because we're not sure if we should name him Machlon or Boaz. They didn't do it.
Machlon's, we consider him Machlon's son, though?
We consider him Machlon. What ends up happening by Yibum is that it's as if the neshama of the person who passed away comes into the child that was born. So this is Machlon. And usually that's what they end up doing. It is weird. You're naming after your own brother that passed away from the wife that he left. Right, that is a strange minhag, but we don't do Yibum nowadays.
So if he got called to read from the Sefer Torah, what would his...
Machlon ben Boaz, Machlon. If his name was Machlon.
Right, but we still call him Ben Boaz, we don't call him...
Of course, that's his father.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. The Elo told us Peretz. Peretz holy to Chatzron. These are the generations that came after Peretz. Peretz gave birth to Chatzron. The Chatzron holy to Rum. Rum holy to Aminadav. Aminadav holy to Nachshon. That's Nachshon and Aminadav, obviously. Nachshon holy to Salma. Right, and that's Salmon, holiness Boaz, Boaz, holiness Oved, Oved, holiness Yishai, Yishai, holiness David. He gave birth to David HaMelech, and that is the end of Sefer Rus, going into what happened with David HaMelech becoming the king of Klal Yisrael. This is the end of what we talk about over here. Yeah, there's a lot over here. I set out most of it, but I didn't say out everything that happens over here. He sat him down, he gave him everything. But yeah, I pretty much got everything down. There's a couple other like major things over here, but what happened at the very end? Because he talks a lot about what had happened. The pregnancy had been painless. The delivery was easy. The child had been fully formed. Has a bris milah over here, right? Everything like
where
that.
Where did they get the bris milah from? Like, is there a remez?
Don't know. Yeah, I'm sure there is, but I'm not sure. That comes from, hold on, 51. Miamlo is Torah Shleiman Rus, 413, Dalet 13. Cannot tell you. He was also born ruddy, by the way. Red, like David HaMelech. So he was born that way as well.
This machlokus of...
No, there's another right I forget over here. The Ibn Yechia, the Igeres Shmuel says that Naomi didn't trust Rus to care for the child properly, right? Because she was a Moavia. Okay, and she didn't know Uncle Maishi. She didn't know, 613 Torrey Avenue. So she said, I'll take care of her. And from that point on, she took care of it, which is crazy because everything that we set up until now is like that. Okay, we'll stop with that, guys. But amazing, absolutely amazing.
This Mount Holcus was settled.